Praise the Lord. He's my reminder, the Holy Spirit.
He always reminds us when there's something very important we need to do, doesn't he? Well, tonight as we come to week 7, part 7 of the Shekinah Glory in History and Prophecy, we're continuing on. And in part 7 tonight, we're currently looking at the 7 appearances of the Shekinah Glory in the New Testament. Now, we've already seen 3 of those appearances, and tonight we come to the 4th. The 4th, and by the way, we won't get past the 4th, because this is the grandest appearance of all. You'll see why when we get done. And this appearance of the Shekinah Glory, the number 4, is really cements together the fact of who the Shekinah Glory really is. It's incredible. I had such a ball preparing this message yesterday. Yesterday it was. The Shekinah Glory in the New... Okay, number 4 is the Shekinah Glory in the Transfiguration. The Shekinah Glory in the Transfiguration. Now, beloved, before we read here in Matthew chapter 17, the greatest manifestation of the Shekinah in the person of Jesus Christ is found in the Transfiguration passages. Now, there are a total of 4 passages in the New Testament where the Transfiguration of the Son of God is graphically described. They're Matthew 17, 1 through 8, Mark 9, 2 through 8, Luke 9, 28 through 36, and 2 Peter 1, verse 16 through 18. Now, we're going to look at them individually because they all portray the same thing. But they give us, like the 4 Gospels, a unique portrait of the event. That's why we need all 4 Gospels. Amen? Now, listen carefully. All 4 of these passages concerning the Transfiguration give a completely unique but accurate description of exactly what occurred on that mount. And amazingly, whether taken individually or altogether corporately, they picture the absolute brilliance of the Shekinah Glory in great detail. You're going to love this tonight. Now go to Matthew chapter 17. Look with me here. We'll get right into it. Matthew 17, 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. All right, now here, beloved, in Matthew 17, we have a number of things to consider. First of all, notice in verse 1, it says, After 6 days, Jesus taketh them up. Now, if you're a student of Scripture at all, and of dates and historical events, you'll realize that we just entered the 7th millennium of world history. Okay? We've had 2 millenniums in the New Testament era. There were 4 millenniums of human history in the Old Testament era. And the Bible says a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. So there's no, me and I were talking about this, there's no mistakes in the Bible. There's no filler words. Everything is there for a reason, just the way God wants it. So after 6 days, Jesus taketh them up. Anybody getting a picture here? We're going up real shortly here. Now, Secondly, observe the height of this mountain. Look at verse 1 again. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Now, beloved, go with me to Isaiah. Hold your place in Matthew. Flip back to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This mountain is a picture of the millennial mountain of Messiah, which will exceed all mountains on planet Earth. There's going to be topographical and geographical modifications to the Earth's surface for the millennium, okay? Mount Zion in Jerusalem will become the highest mountain on Earth. That means it will exceed Everest is 29,000 feet. So we know it's going to be at least 30,000 feet, Mount Zion. Very high mountain. And I want to show you this in Isaiah. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 2, look at verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that's millennial days, that the mountain, that's Mount Zion in Jerusalem, of the Lord's house, that's the millennial temple, shall be established in the top of the mountains. That means higher than any other mountain. And shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. Here is a millennial prophecy of the millennial mountain of the Lord. We studied this a couple of years back. And it's still on tape on the website. But folks, it's incredible that back here in Matthew 17, Jesus is showing them a picture of the millennium. And what does he do? The first thing he does is takes them up into an exceeding high mountain. Oh, this is so good. And okay, now, thirdly, the third thing we need to notice in this passage is found in verse 2. Notice the word transfigured in verse 2 of Matthew 17. And this Greek word is metamorpho. Metamorpho is the Greek word. It means transformed. Like metamorphosis, that's where we get our English word, metamorphosis, from this word. Transfigured means transformed. It does not mean replaced. Okay? It's the same person, but he's transformed into a... Transformed. What's that word mean? Trans, change, form. Formed into a different form. But it's the same person. Jesus Christ. You see that? He was transfigured. Transfigured. His figure altered, modified into a glorious. And it's showing him, he's revealing to them his glory that they will see during the millennium. All right. Now, fourthly, observe the wording also in verse 2. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, here we find similar expressions as was used elsewhere in describing the Shekinah. Bright, shine, fire, light. See that? Fifthly, notice in verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud. Now, here we find a bright cloud overshadowing them with the voice of God speaking out of that cloud. Sound familiar? It's exactly as the Old Testament appearances of the Shekinah occurred, beloved, which we saw. I believe it was 13 of them in the Old Testament. Now, this is speaking of the voice of God. And God, this is God's authenticating, listen carefully, this is God's authenticating the Messiahship of Jesus Christ for the Jews, okay? When God spake out of the Shekinah cloud, it was the voice of God the Father authenticating the Messiahship of his Son. Remember, this same cloud and this same voice was speaking out of it in the Old Testament at Mount Sinai, another mountain, when he authenticated the Mosaic Covenant. Remember? He authenticated the Mosaic Covenant with a bright cloud and a loud voice coming out of the cloud. So here we have him authenticating the new covenant through Messiah to Israel in the same Shekinah glory. Now, realize here, beloved, that the shining of the face of Moses, listen, was that of a reflected glory, while the shining of the face of Jesus here was the actual shining of the Shekinah glory itself. Amen? It wasn't a reflection. It was a real deal. Now, Moses, being like the moon, reflected that light. But Jesus, being like the sun, S-U-N, shined the actual source of that light. He is the source. Next, in our second passage describing the transfiguration, it's found in the Gospel of Mark. Go over to Mark chapter 9. Now remember, each of these passages give us a unique look and picture of the transfiguration event. In Mark chapter 9, look with me at verse 2. And after 6 days, there it is again. After 6 days, 6 millenniums, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. Picture the rapture. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered. Now, time out. Before we continue to read, there's a fascinating comment in verse 4. Notice that Moses and Elijah, Elias is the New Testament, the Greek name for Elijah, they were asking Jesus questions. You see that? They were curious about this new covenant. They wanted to know all about it. And Jesus said, hold on, boys. We got something in business to take care of. 5, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Now look at it. 8, and suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mount, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Okay? Now, here is a most incredible passage in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 through 8. And here we find 2 things unique from Matthew's passage. First, look at verse 3 again. Look at verse 3. His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can be. Now, again, we have the shining of the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. Okay. Secondly, look at verse 7. In verse 7, and there was a cloud, it's the Shekinah cloud, you know that, that overshadowed them. And a voice, this is the same cloud that abode in the tabernacle of the Old Testament and in the temple of Solomon, okay? But not in the temple of Zerubbabel. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. God the Father said, if you don't hear him, you can't know me. God, this is God's new way of dealing with planet Earth, okay? If you don't like it, lump it, because this is his plan for the New Testament age of grace. Now, the cloud and the voice we see once again. But next, we have a third passage of Scripture describing this transfiguration. It's found in Luke chapter 9. Go over with me to Luke chapter 9. And drop down with me to verse 28. Luke 9, 28. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings. Now, there's no contradiction in the Bible. No contradictions in the Bible. It doesn't say 8 days. It says about. Okay? It was about a week. He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. It doesn't say he became a different being. It's still Jesus Christ. But he was altered in his appearance. And his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in what? Glory. They had, notice here that Moses and Elias, who's Elijah, were already glorified. They didn't know, they didn't have their glorified bodies yet. That won't happen until the second advent. But they were in glory, a state of glorification, okay? 31. And they spake of his decease. You hear that? Moses and Elijah, see the semicolon at the end of verse 30? It's a progression. And it says, Moses and Elias spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Remember in the other passage, when Moses and Elias were asking Jesus questions in Mark chapter 9? This is what they were asking him about his decease to come at Jerusalem, the cross, the crucifixion. They wanted to understand it. They were saying, why, oh Lord, you're our master. Why would you die? They didn't understand it. Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, Shekinah, and the two men that stood with him, Moses and Elias. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. Now they're going into, the other passages didn't give us this. But it appears that they actually walked into the Shekinah cloud. Okay, now watch. 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Yet they all recorded it in their gospels. And Peter recorded it in his epistle. Amen? Why? Because Jesus said, after my departure, you may tell the world what you've seen here. Okay. Now, in this passage, in Luke chapter 9, unlike the Matthew and Mark passages, they saw his glory as the cloud overshadowed him, revealing the fact that Jesus Christ himself is the Shekinah glory of God. It's no mystery. This is the reason why many theologians refer to the Old Testament appearances of the Shekinah as theophanies or Christophanies. I have no qualm with them. I believe they're correct. Because the Shekinah glory was God's presence on earth in the Old Testament. And we know that God the Father, the first person of the Godhead, never leaves heaven. Okay? He sits on that throne ruling the universe. But he sends his son to the earth, right? To make appearances throughout world history. So I believe that's correct. That Shekinah glory of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ in the cloud form. Now, next we have a fourth passage, beloved. A fourth passage is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this one, to me, is most fascinating of all. Because of the wording that Peter, the now aged one, uses. Peter knew that he would be martyred, crucified, and he requested that they crucify. When they were martyring Peter, they were going to nail him to the cross. He said, uh-uh, you point my head down. And they said, why? And you find this in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He said, because I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as our Lord. So they did. They crucified him head down. He died quicker because the blood rushed down. But that's how Peter died. Why? Because he saw his glory. He wasn't afraid to die. He knew where he was going in 2 Peter. Go to chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 15. Peter is getting ready to be martyred. He knew. So he writes to the believers, encouraging them to be faithful unto death. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Time out, church. The transfiguration passages we're looking at tonight is something that you, as a child of the King, should have always in remembrance. Okay? Because that's where you and I are going. We're going to glory to be with the King in a glorified state. 16. Why, Peter? For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He says, this is no fairy tale. I'm telling you the truth. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. And for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that's the Shekinah, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in that holy mount. This, to me, is one of the most precious passages in all the Bible. He's about to be martyred by Nero, and he's giving us an account of the transfiguration, and he's joyful about it. Now, first of all, a number of things we have here, folks. First, notice what Peter says in verse 16. Go back to verse 16. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, he's saying that the Shekinah glory is Jesus Christ's glory. It's his majesty. It's his glory. None else. Secondly, observe the wording in verse 17. Peter says in verse 17 that Jesus Christ received the Shekinah glory from God the Father. Look at it. 17. For he what? Received from God the Father honor and glory. Yeah. He's received Shekinah glory, Skyniai in the New Testament glory. Now, considering these four passages, beloved, we must conclude that Jesus Christ himself was the visible manifestation of God's presence in an entirely new form on planet Earth, one of incarnation. But that at the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory which was veiled by his humanity shone through. It shone through and was allowed for three of his apostles to witness it personally. And they wrote about it. Amen? John, the Revelator, wow, did he ever write about it? So, beloved, this fourth appearance at the Transfiguration was indeed beheld in a form far greater than what had appeared in any portion of the Old Testament scripture appearances. This was a far superior form of the Shekinah, because it was evidenced where its source came from, the Son of God. God the Father pointed to his Son and said, he's the one. He's my glory. You see that? Now, something else. We're not done. The Messiah, having come in the flesh, being the new manifestation of God's literal presence on earth, Shekinah, is also clearly taught in latter New Testament passages as well. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This cannot be denied, unless it's done so on purpose, and some do. In 2 Corinthians, because they've got their own agenda, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me. Here we're going to see the Shekinah glory in action, clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Therefore, this is Paul writing. Oh, by the way, Paul also beheld the Shekinah glory on the Damascus Road. Remember that light was so bright it blinded him? That was the Shekinah, Jesus Christ. He's an eyewitness too. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, that's unknown. It is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why would he do that? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shekinah unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shekinah, shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory, Shekinah glory, of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul just said in a mouthful is that Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father. If you want to know God, you've got to look at Jesus Christ and behold the Shekinah glory of God in his face. And that glory is shining. It's shekinahing. It's in a world, isn't it? Now, clearly, folks, listen carefully. This passage, 2 Corinthians 4, 1-6, states that through Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory of God shines into this world of darkness. But most men reject that light. You see, it's a choice that must be made whether to behold it and receive it or to reject it and go our own way. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to see it take place again. And these passages are absolutely undeniable about the glory of God being found in his Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, look with me at verse 1. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times, that's several times, and in diverse manners, differing ways, spake, like through a cloud, a Shekinah cloud, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, age of grace, spoken unto us by his Son. Time out, church. Before we continue reading here, let me make a statement. I'm going to get letters this week, I know, but I don't care. There are no prophets today, okay? The gift of prophecy, it ceased with the completion of the canon of Scripture. You want to know the future? Look in this book. Don't listen to prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. I can prove in 60 seconds any one of these guys is no prophet of God. You know how? I've challenged them. And they refuse to answer me. I tell them, give me the lottery numbers that will be the winning lottery numbers tomorrow, or give me the race horses that will come in first, second, and third tomorrow, and I believe you're a true prophet of God. Not one of them have ever taken my challenge. You know why? They can't do it. They don't know the future. They're fakes. Now look at it. He says that God spoke through prophets in time past, and he did. We got a Bible full of them. But look at verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken us unto us by who? His Son. Jesus, listen to me. God is not speaking through human beings anymore, like he did in the Old Testament. He's speaking through his Son, by his Holy Spirit, through his Word. That's why people hate this book. They don't want to believe what this book says. They don't want to believe it's God's voice. It is. They want some preacher man, some prophet to come. Oh man, give me a break. I want the word of God. I don't want some false prophet. He hath in the, verse 2, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who, being the brightness of his what? Shekinah. Nobody is going to refute verse 3. Jesus Christ is the brightness of his Shekinah glory Look at it. And the express image. He's the the exact image of his person. And, that's not all, upholding all things by the word of his power, Jesus Christ's power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Ooh, we could camp here for a while, folks. What a passage. Now listen very carefully. Here in Hebrews chapter 1:1-3, notice first in verse 1, that God had revealed himself to mankind in various ways, including the Old Testament Shekinah appearances, okay? He appeared in the form of three men. He appeared in the form of the captain of Joshua's salvation. He appeared in all kinds of forms in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he only appeared in one form, the Son of God. Amen? Look at it. Verse 1, he appeared. But look at verse 2. Clearly, he has chosen to reveal himself in the New Testament in a new and living way. That is through his Son, Jesus Christ. But notice in verse 3, that speaking of this Son, Jesus Christ, he is absolutely described in verse 3 as the Shekinah glory of God. No man can deny that. But one more. Go with me to Revelation chapter 1. We'll finish up. In Revelation, just after Jude, just after 3 John, Revelation chapter 1, he appears in Shekinah form again, his glorified form, to John, the Revelator. Now, John had seen him in this form on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James. Remember that? Here he's going to see him again. Watch this. In Revelation chapter 1, look with me at verse 12. We're going to finish up here. John says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me." It's Jesus. "And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow." Seems like we've heard those words before. "And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Here we have a most incredible appearance of the Shekinah to the beloved John. And observe here, beloved, that in his glorified state, Jesus Christ, in his outward appearance, emanates such brightness that the glory of the shining is comparable to that of the sun itself. The sun in the sky? Meaning that no longer, listen, no longer is the Shekinah glory veiled by human flesh in the form of the Son of God. It's no longer veiled. It's now shining in all of its brightness, in all of its glory. And look what he says here in verse 16. "And he had in his right hand seven stars." Those are the angels of the churches. This church has an appointed angel watching over us. I'm glad of that. "And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." That's the words that come out of his mouth. They're powerful. "And his countenance was as the what? Sun. S-U-N. Shineth in his strength." Have you ever tried to look up into the sky, into the sun, and keep your eyes open for any length of time? I have. And you can't do it. It's too bright. It's too bright. Listen to me. Jesus Christ's glory is too bright for us to behold in our earthly bodies. But one day, bless God, we're getting glorified once. We'll be able to see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. We'll be glorified. Woo! Glory to God, Father, how we thank You tonight for part number 7. The New Testament appearance of the Shekinah glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord Jesus, it is so crystal clear to us tonight through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, that You alone are the Shekinah glory of God. You are the glory of God, Jesus Christ. None else can claim that glory. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Muhammad, not Gandhi, not any other God named under heaven. Lord, we thank You that Jesus Christ alone is the glory of God. And we thank You tonight, Lord, that we know that. We know that by personal experience, having received Him. And we have not only received Him, but we have believed Him. We love You tonight, and we thank You for the message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Beloved, let's sing one in closing.